It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's message was preached during the 2003 Bible Conference. Our speaker today is Dr. Wendell Heller of Colonial Hills Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. The title of his message is The Simplicity That Is in Christ. The text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4.
Been a wonderful evening so far. I've enjoyed every minute of it. I was thinking, as I was sitting back there, it's been 51 years ago that I graduated from Bob Jones University. And that makes a person sound pretty old. Somebody said to me, "Are there any changes that come in your life as you get older?" And I said, "Well, once in a while, you do forget. There are not a lot of changes, but once in a while you do forget." Now, nobody likes to acknowledge that they've forgotten something. I remember hearing of a gentleman who was going to go to work, and his wife said to him, "Honey, do you remember what day it is?" And he implied, of course, that he did. He went to work, and he said to himself, "Is it her birthday or is it our anniversary?" So about noon, he called his wife and he said, "Honey, I want you to get all dressed up tonight. We're going to go out to a nice restaurant. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful evening." After he finished his work, he went by the floral shop and he got him a beautiful corsage and came home and put the beautiful corsage on his wife. They went out to a beautiful restaurant and had a wonderful, wonderful evening. And on the way home, she scooted over beside her husband and gave him a little peck on the cheek. And she said, "Honey, you know, this is the nicest Groundhog Day I've ever had." So sometimes I guess it doesn't pay to act like we remember, does it? I want to say how happy we are to be here. And I've enjoyed the conference thus far and this evening. And I'm so grateful to the Jones family and all of those that labor with them for this wonderful university. We're greatly indebted to them, and we appreciate them so much. I want to bring a message tonight. It's going to be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want you to turn to the first four verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you were to ask me one of the words in the Bible that I love dearly, it would be the word simple. Because the word simple means unmixed. Now, a lot of times we use the word simple in a derogatory way. We talk about somebody, say, "Well, they're simple." And we mean that there's something missing. But when the Apostle Paul characterized the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he referred to it as a simplicity that is in Christ. The fear that he had for the believers here in Corinth was because of all of the misrepresentation by the false teachers about his own ministry, that some would be tempted to move away from the simplicity that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul not only characterized the ministry of Christ and the life of Christ as simple and simplistic, but in his own ministry as well. At the beginning of the book, he refers to it, and I'm going to read it in a moment, but I want to read chapter 11, verse 1 through 4, and I want you to follow with me. "Would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Now let me stop and say, the Apostle Paul considered what he was saying and doing at that moment as being foolish. In fact, the Apostle Paul considered himself foolish for rehearsing his credentials as a preacher of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was totally out of character for the Apostle Paul. He was one who was very careful to give all credit and all praise to Almighty God. I know he was embarrassed about it because in verse 16, the same chapter, he said, "I say again, let no man think me a fool." So he considered it foolish to do what he was doing. However, because of the false teachers who were talking about all of their credentials, and because of their attempt to diminish the importance of the message that Paul himself was preaching, he felt that it was absolutely necessary if he was going to stop the mouths of the false teachers. In verse number 2, he said, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." Now let me say, jealousy is different than envy. Envy is sinful. But here he is jealous. He is wanting something good to be retained in their own heart, in their own life. And so he is a man of strong passion, and he is saying, I feel very deeply about it, very strongly about it. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one woman or one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul was anxious to see the church's love, that it should be for Christ alone, just as a pure bride would save her love for one man only. So he was saying that I am jealous, I am concerned, and in fact in verse number 3 you'll notice, but I fear. Now it's an interesting word, and I sometimes wish that in our day there were more people, parents and pastors alike, who would observe what is going on, some of the changes that are taking place, and they would say, I am afraid that you are moving away from the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now what the Apostle Paul was saying here was that he was afraid that there was going to be an atmosphere created. I guess I better tell you why I'm drinking a little bit of water. When I change climate, I get some kind of an allergy. And I'm always afraid. I take the Claritin D and it gets me dry. And I'm always afraid if I tell the audience that I'm dry, somebody will amen me. And I didn't want to do that. Now let me say, the fear that the Apostle Paul had is that there would be an environment created that they would find it easy to open up and listen to an entirely different message. In order for Paul to be a leader to them and disciple them, of course, they had to have confidence in him. The definition of leadership is influencing others to follow us even as we follow Christ. And to be a good leader, you've got to have followers. And to have followers, they've got to have confidence. And the Apostle Paul realized that there were many going around and they were misrepresenting his own ministry. And it would no doubt have an effect upon the new believers. And if the new believers lost confidence in the servant of God, the messenger of God, they would lose confidence in the message that he would preach. And so Paul said, I'm afraid lest you move away from the simplicity in Christ. Now I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to notice the testimony that Paul gives about his own life and his own ministry. And to give you just a little bit of the background, the Apostle Paul wanted to maintain good communication with the believers. In fact, you can go through not only the book of Acts, but the epistles of Paul, and you'll discover the Apostle Paul always wanted to be transparent. He said here in this particular chapter, chapter 1, verse 8, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. He said, we are pressed out of measure, above strength. We despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. If you go to the epistle, the Apostle Paul would say something similar to this. You know what manner of man I have been among you. In the book of Acts chapter 20, he got the elders to come over from Ephesus and he said, you know all about me from the very beginning. And he began to rehearse a little bit of the ministry. In the first letter to the Thessalonians, in the second chapter, a number of times in that chapter he said, you know what manner of man I have been. And then he would go down and says, you know, for ye know, ye remember. Now it was important to the Apostle Paul that the people know exactly what he believed and exactly what he lived for. And when he describes in verse number 11 his own life and ministry, he describes it in this way. He said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. Now, Paul was saying, in simplicity, he was making a case for simplicity. I thank God that I was brought up in a home with a mother and father who had a very simple faith. My father and mother were converted when they were about 26 years of age. They had been very active in a liberal church. Mother was quilting across the field, little Katie Mosier. Another lady that lived there, quilting with her, told her about a revival meeting that was going on not far from our home. Mother came home and told my dad about it. They went to the service. It was a revival meeting that lasted for almost 7 weeks. And there were about 400 adults converted to Jesus Christ during that meeting. My father said on the first night when they went, they had never heard anything like it. And when the invitation was given, they put their hand on the pew ahead of them. And he said, we were literally trembling with conviction. He said, we got in the automobile to go home. And he said, I didn't say anything to Mother, and Mother didn't say anything to me. And Mom said when Dad got home, he went down in the basement to stoke the furnace. We had one large register, and all the heat came up through that register. And she heard him say, God, if you'll let me live till tomorrow, I'll get saved tomorrow. And I guess he thought he had to get saved over at the church. Mother was changing someone's diaper, I'm not going to tell you who, when they had the old cloth diapers, and they had the little pins. And she said, I was shaking so with conviction that I was afraid to use the pin. It was the next night when they went and the invitation was given. It was obvious to our neighbors that they were under deep conviction. And some of them came and said, we'll take care of the children. You go for and be saved. My father said that you had to go early to get a seat. And when you got there, you could hear a pin drop. There was such conviction. Simple faith. When he was converted to Christ, he made a number of covenants with the Lord. He said that when the church doors are open, my family is going to be there. And I want to tell you, not to my own credit, but to the credit of my father and mother who had a simple faith, I could almost count on one hand the numbers of services that I missed in the church. They always went. And we didn't try to fake sickness because Mother gave us castor oil. And if you ever had castor oil, you know that's no good. He said that every day I'm going to gather my family together. We're going to have prayer and Bible study. And they did it all of their life. He said, I want to bring a tithe and more as the Lord prospers me into my local church. They had a very, very simple faith. Now the Apostle Paul is saying, our rejoicing is this. It's a testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation before the world. He acted in holiness and sincerity and total dependence upon God. When you understand what he means by being simple in faith, you realize that someone simple in faith is very, very confident. Because simplicity translates into a strong confidence in Almighty God. What a joy it was to know that I didn't have to see all that God was doing to know that He was at work. His Word did not return void. Many years ago, I learned of an incident that happened in the founder of this institution, Bob Jones, the founder of the institution. A man that owned the Finelli drugstores in Indianapolis called me and said that he had a roommate. He said that he was the founder and the owner at that time of the Archway Cookie Company. And he said, Pastor, he is not saved. Would you come and talk to him? And I said, I'm on the way. I asked him if he would talk to the family and ask them please to give me a little time privately with him. When he got there, he told me this story. He said, nearly 50 years ago, at Crawfordsville, Indiana, there was an evangelist by the name of Bob Jones who came, and he said, what a revival went on. My grandfather and my father kept their suit on. They slept on the couch. And I assumed that they had maybe daytime as well as nighttime meetings. And he said, I was under deep conviction in that meeting. But I didn't get saved. And all of these years, I have remembered some of the messages that I heard in that meeting. And there that day at the hospital, he bowed his head and he made his profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I told him then that I graduated from Bob Jones University. He didn't know that. And as I was riding home, I thought to myself, isn't it wonderful to know that we can be simple in our faith, just serve the Lord, depend upon the Holy Spirit to use His Word. God will give the increase and He'll get all the credit. And we don't have to be concerned. We don't have to be discouraged. Many years later, we'll learn. I was in South Georgia and a man walked into a room of a sick man and he had an insulated bucket with him. And I said, you're going to have to help me with my name. I hadn't seen him in 40 years. He said, I'm not going to help you with my name. You know who I am. I said, man, it's been 40 years. He said, you came to my home on a Tuesday night and my wife trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. But I was stubborn and I didn't get saved. And I went away to the army and I came home from the army and my wife was such a different lady. He said, I got saved and now I'm a deacon down there at the church. 40 years later, I found out about that. Paul said, I don't want you to move away from the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe many times Satan's effort is to confuse the believer, distract him from doing the will of God. I believe that there are Bible truths that will remain for many of us unreconcilable mysteries of the Scripture, such as God's sovereignty and power, man's freedom and responsibility. The Bible teaches both, no doubt, but must both have to be believed and affirmed. But in our effort to explain sometime to the satisfaction of the human reasoning of man, we either distort the Scripture or confuse people and they move away from the simplicity that's in Christ. God never tells a man to understand Him. He tells him to trust Him. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, oh, the depths and the riches of the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Job chapter 9 and verse 10, God doeth great things past finding out. In Job 11, 6 and 7, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Now, I don't know where you are tonight, but I want to say this. Paul was concerned because he did not want these believers to move away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Now you say, well, what is he talking about when he talks about Christ's simplicity? Many times our Lord is contrasted with the religious leaders of his own day. For example, when our Lord is communicating, Jesus was so clear that children and adults alike had no difficulty in understanding his words or following his reasoning. But by contrast, the scribes and the priests and the Pharisees who dominated the synagogue scene used cliches and religious double talk. They unintentionally made Christ's simple style and his straightforward approach seem all the more refreshing. When Jesus spoke, people listened. So much can be learned about the simplicity that is in Christ from the time that he sat on the hillside and he taught his disciples. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. His words were authoritative and insightful. His demeanor was informal. He was reasonable and thoughtful. He gave them the truth. And many of the people who had endured a lifetime of boring and irrelevant servants listened to him, clear to the end. In fact, in Matthew 7, 28 and 29, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and notice the contrast, and not as the scribes. Before Christ came on the scene, the people endured man-made systems that were so complicated, requirements that were back-breaking requirements, and quite honestly, they couldn't measure up. When Christ came on the scene, he came with a message of liberating grace, encouragement to the weary, hope for those that were sinful, and best of all, everything he told them, it was always the truth. And I think the major message of Jesus' teaching in that setting could be encapsulated in just a few words when he said, "Be not ye therefore like unto them." He wanted his children to be distinct from the children of the world. And I want to say, if we move away from the simplicity that is in Christ, we are going to become more and more like the world in our attitude and in our actions. He said, don't be like them. Christ hated hypocrisy. He loved to see an authentic believer, one that was for real. The hypocrite could travel down both sides of the road. He could sound pious, but secretly he could be profane. He could look righteous, but he would be unholy. And even when the hollowness of his own life became evident to others, he had some way of just increasing the activity and somehow covered over. The Pharisees were masters at such things. They were not content with the Mosaic Law, but in fact, that included the Ten Commandments. They tacked on 365 more prohibitions, and in fact added 250 more commandments to the 10 that were already there. Now, did it make them religious? Not at all. In fact, in Matthew 5:20, Jesus said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." When they gave, they wanted to sound the horn. They wanted people to know what they gave. When they prayed, it was a long prayer, and they wanted to go to a prominent corner. And when they fasted, they didn't want to wash their face. They wanted people to know that they were fasting. And our Lord hated that. In a negative way, they were very, very intolerant of those that were good and godly people. And our Lord said He didn't like that. Now, let me say this. Satan's attempt is to move us from a simple faith in Christ, a simple walk with God. A simple believer has no problem believing all of the Bible. They don't understand it all, maybe, but they believe it all. There is a trend in the secular world to move away from that which is complicated and go back to that which is simple, from the artificial to the natural foods, from the bustling cities to the farm. Some even turn off their furnaces and go to the old wood stove. There was a satanic strategy, a remarkable book some years ago, that gave something of Satan's strategy, and Canon Roger Lloyd, the archdeacon, instructed all of his subordinates on one of the ancient and effective pieces of satanic strategy. And here's the way he said it went. I quote, "Insert yourself into the simple situations which call for plain and obvious duties, urge the devil, and complicate them again until at the last no one involved in them can make any sense out of the confusion." Now let me illustrate that. Some years ago, Boston, Massachusetts, they came up with a simple rule of thumb that went in effect for all-night parking. It went something like this, and I quote, "On even-numbered dates, park on the odd-numbered side of the street. On odd-numbered dates, park on the even-numbered side. If you park after midnight, the rule is reversed. Where parking is allowed only on one side, park on the side opposite the no parking anytime sign." Now, do you understand that? No. Years ago, the Washington National Airport, there was an announcement that was made, "Attention, please, will all Piedmont passengers who have not done so do so immediately?" Makes no sense. When a televised baseball game went into extra innings one evening, NBC sportscaster, many years ago now, Kurt Gowdy announced that tonight's show has been canceled, that tomorrow's show will be seen later tonight, and that today's show will be seen tomorrow. Makes no sense. Two fellows were talking. One said, "Will you lend me $20 and only give me 10 of them? That way you'll owe me 10 and I'll owe you 10. We'll be straight." Now the point that is being made is, if confusion comes, and the Apostle Paul was saying as he wrote to the believers in Corinth, you are creating an environment now, if you believe the false teachers, if you discredit the ministry of the Apostle Paul, you're going to discredit the message that he preached, and you're going to create an environment that allows you to entertain an entirely different message. We're in an age of spiritual complexity. And I don't mind telling you, and I'm honest with you, I am concerned and disturbed at some of the things that are happening in our churches and among believers today. The simplicity which is in Christ you rarely find among people. In its stead, we have programs, methods, organizations, a world of nervous activity that occupy time and attention, but really they can never satisfy the longing of the human heart. Simple faith. My father and mother went through, though they were godly people, went through many serious problems. Three of the five children are in heaven. One died soon after birth. Our brother died with cancer when he was 27. My sister Theda died with cancer, I believe, at about 48 years of age. I was an awful automobile accident. In a second accident, they were called and said that I was killed in that accident. The only grandchildren among many that was close to them lived right across the road and was killed in an automobile accident at 8 years of age. And my father said, I went back in the back room and I knew Satan was trying to rob me of my simple faith in Christ. And he said, God, give me a verse of Scripture. And the Scripture from Peter, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that shall try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Rejoice in as much as we made partakers of Christ's suffering. And he said to me, I look toward heaven. I said, thank you, Lord. That's all I need. I watched my father and mother stand by the casket with a smile on their face and say to the people that are coming by, God never makes a mistake. And I want to say to you, those that are simple, they have not departed from the simplicity that is in Christ. They are confident people. They have a strong confidence in the Lord. They do not easily give up. They do not allow the environment to be created around them that begins to open up to a different kind of a message. They love the Word of God. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to move away from the simplicity that is in Christ. We learned a lot of lessons from little children. Some years ago, after I had preached at Colonial Hills Baptist, at night I was standing by the door and I felt someone got a hold of my right leg. Looked down at my little grandson, Ryan Smith. He looked up with little blue eyes and blonde hair, and he said, Poppy, you know what I want to do? I said, no, Ryan, what do you want to do? He said, I want to go home with you, spend the night with you. I said, go ask your father and mother. If they give permission, you go home with me. They gave permission. Well, he wanted to sleep with Mamaw, that's my wife, and with Poppy. And I want to tell you, I was tired, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, he is still trying to play games. And I could hardly hold my eyes open. And I got an idea. And I said, Ryan, I'll make a deal with you. If you go right to sleep the first thing in the morning, we'll play games. 4:30 in the morning, he went right to sleep. At 4:30 in the morning, he jumped off the bed, raised his hand. He said, Poppy, it's morning. It's time to play games. Well, I got him over by the bathroom door and I said, Ryan, it's 4:30 in the morning and we're tired. And I pointed over to my wife and I said, and Mamaw's still asleep. And then I used the word, do you think they don't listen to their Sunday school teacher? I used the word, I said, and Ryan, we're going to be in trouble. He looked up with those little blue eyes and he said, but Poppy, he said, the God of Israel will help us. Now, I'm sure that his Sunday school teacher said, Israel was in trouble, but the God of Israel helped them. No problem for him at all. I was in St. John, Newfoundland, and the pastor said to me, you know, we adopted a little girl 4 years of age. And he told me a very beautiful story. Some people say I ought not to tell it, but I do anyway. He said, you know, we were in a small church and our salary was so low, we could hardly make it. He said, my little daughter was sitting in the second row and my wife was in the choir. And after we received the offering, she'd go down and sit with a little daughter. And he said, on this particular day, she had all of her grocery money in her purse. And she got down and walked around and was going to go into the pew and noticed that the little girl had taken everything out of that purse. And mother said to the little girl, said, "Honey, is everything all right?" And the little girl said, "Yes, Mommy, I knew how much you loved God and I gave all your money to God in the offering plate." And I said, "I think that's beautiful. First of all, she observed something in her mother. Her mother loved God. And secondly, no doubt her mother had said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And she was doing something that would please Almighty God." I don't have any question in my mind that one of the desires that our Lord would have for every one of us, and I want to say to this institution, Bob Jones University, I believe, is one that follows the simple faith. We wouldn't be in existence today still preaching the same message if it were not for the fact that down the line, those, the Jones family and the others who gave leadership here, maintained a simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was saying to these believers, "I fear lest you move away from the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ." The word simple means unmixed, unadulterated. The Judaizers said, "Except ye be circumcised, ye cannot be saved." They did not deny the power of the cross. They said that there's something that was to be mixed with it. The word simplicity has many applications. It is opposed to anything that is difficult or double or compound or cunning or deceitful. On the other hand, it is simple, it is easy, it is elementary, it is guileless, it's open, it's single. When I was very young, I was very short. I picked up the nickname Short. A little lady in my home church, long before I was saved, would point at me and say, "Short's going to be a preacher." And I tell you, I didn't like that. And I would say to my mother and father on the way home, "I wish Elva Blocker wouldn't say that." And if you were to ask me to describe her, I would describe her as a godly lady with a simple faith. She didn't realize that her words were going to be used by God later on in my own life. And after the awful accident and after I got out of the hospital, I went that night to a Youth for Christ meeting when Youth for Christ was different in those days. And early in that service, I nudged my cousin. I said, "Kurt, it's all over. I can't resist God anymore." And I trusted Christ there at the beginning of the service. Answered the call to preach. And I want to say something. There were 22 young men that answered the call to the ministry that night, and I have been told by a very reliable source that almost all of them spent their entire life in the ministry. But Paul was saying that if you begin to listen to a message that is contrary to the Word of God, if you listen to another Christ, a different spirit, not the Holy Spirit, a different message, not the gospel that is taught in the Bible, and you begin to create that atmosphere and you begin to listen. Paul said, "I'm afraid you're going to move away from the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul's desire is a strong desire. He had a passion. "I'm jealous." Right for a pastor to be jealous for his church, that they would follow the Lord. It's right for a husband to be jealous of his wife, that she would be faithful and a good mother. And Paul was saying that, "I am jealous, I am concerned." He was concerned with the first tender love that was so sensitive to anything that would grieve the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved the simplicity of their heart, the judgment and purpose. He wanted them to desire nothing but to think what Christ thought, to desire what He desired, to please the new and so dear friend in everything. Nothing kept back. Nothing but a simple, loving, pure opening up of their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply saying, "Whatever God says, I'm going to do." The desire of the Apostle Paul was a strong desire for him. Don't move away from the simplicity of Christ. But Satan's deception was there. He said, "I fear lest by any means," verse 3, "as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." You say, "Well, how did the serpent beguile Eve?" He slandered God. He told her that God did not mean what He said. God told us that Satan was a liar from the beginning on the basis of a lie that was partly the truth. We remember Tennyson's words when he said, a lie that is all of a lie can be met and fought outright, but a lie that is partly the truth is a harder matter to fight. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, a lie which is half true is doubly a lie. He said it has more power to deceive people than if it were altogether false. Crafty slanders, he said, never make their libels smell too strongly of lies, for then they would be known at once to be false. He said the devil likes to lay his lies and let them soak for a while in the oil of truth because it gives them a savor of probability. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of any of the trees of the garden? No, that's not what he said. He had limited their liberty by one tree only. And if you follow it out, he said, I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. Not only did he slander God when he talked to Eve, but he suggested another message. God said, thou shalt surely die. Satan said, ye shall not surely die. And I want to tell you, there are a lot of people today that are turning away from the simple Word of God. Years ago, I remember, there was a program on television, a man by the name of Gary Moore. I don't think he was a believer at all. It was called What's My Line, and they would have somebody come on, and they would, the panel would ask them questions. They'd try to determine what kind of occupation they were involved in. And Gary Moore would say something before a new person would come out, and on this particular instance, there was somebody coming out, and he said, I need to warn the audience now, the next lady that comes out is going to be singing a religious song unto God, and it would not be appropriate for us to clap. That was an unbeliever. And we know what's happening in many of our churches today. We've made performers. And I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul, if you read through this letter many, many times, he takes absolutely no credit for any good that happened. He gives all of the credit to God. He is so thankful to the Lord. God gives increase. He gets all the credit. Paul was saying, don't move away from the simplicity that's in Christ. He suggested another message. Look at the saints' delusion. Your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. In Luke 9:62, Jesus said unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In Hosea 10:2, their heart is divided, now shall they be found faulty. In 2 Kings 17, they feared the Lord but served their own gods. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Simple means unmixed. Somebody said, well, it's 90% truth that I'm hearing, but what about the 10%? James 1:8 said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James 1:6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. When you begin to apply that, you look at salvation. Notice how complicated it has become. Romanism with all of their sacramentalism, modernism with its emphasis upon works, and rationalism and reason, heathenism with all of its superstition, Judaizers and their observance of the law, and the Bible is saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There were not two ways to heaven. Jesus said there's one way to heaven. It was so clear, and it was so simple, and he was simply saying, you depend upon God alone in all of your labor. Don't move away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And Paul said, in simplicity and sincerity we have served God. Look at our methods of soul winning. Sometimes we concentrate more on the method than on the message. Our dependence ought to be upon God. All God asks us to do is to preach the gospel, preach the Word of God, depend upon the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says He'll give the fruit. He gets all of the credit for it. A young man got up and said, I got 50 people saved today. Did he do it? No. Our dependence must be upon God. Now you say, well, how can I keep from moving away from the simplicity that is in Christ? First of all, let me say, dispel any satanic effort to introduce another message. Stand fast in the faith. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Know the Bible. Make much of the Word of God. We ought to be reading through the Bible every single year. It ought to be a part of our life. And any effort on the part of Satan to introduce another message, we ought to resist it immediately. Secondly, discourage any satanic effort to cultivate an atmosphere that would allow for the introducing. And by the way, we begin to compromise and we're creating that atmosphere and we become like those who say, well, one way is just as good as another. No, it is not. We must publicly and positively proclaim our satisfaction with the message of God and the love of God toward us. Then discipline our life by bringing every thought into captivity to the will of God. Memorizing of Scripture is important. Demonstrate by our actions the reality of the Lord's statement, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Like a city that's set on a hill, we ought to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we turn away. Many times we become impressed with ourselves. But I want to tell you, the people that have had the greatest impact upon my life as a Christian through these many years have been those that were simple in their faith. Don Howard was injured at birth, member of the church, Colony Hills Baptist. He's now 83 years of age, I believe. He can tell me the first message that I ever preached. He's been there all of these years. When we had a testimony meeting, I knew that probably Don would be the last one to get up and he'd pull himself up and you could understand him one syllable at a time. But the last thing that he would always say is, God has been so good to me. Simple faith. Confidence in the Lord. Sometimes we become impressed with ourselves. I read an interesting little article. There was a young, gifted minister who was preaching. Some said his preaching was just a cut above the ordinary. As the ranks of the congregation began to swell, his head followed suit. And after he delivered his latest barn burner one morning, one of his loyal parishioners earnestly shook his hand and said, "You're becoming one of the greatest expositors in this generation, Pastor." As he squeezed his head into the car and slid behind the steering wheel, his weary wife along beside him and his kids stuffed in the back seat, he couldn't resist sharing the story with his wife. He said, "Honey, Mrs. Franklin told me she thought I was one of the greatest expositors of this generation." He said it proudly. He was caught up in the heady swirl of the woman's exaggerated compliment. There was no response from his wife. Fishing for some kind of response, some affirmation, he glanced at his silent wife with a weak smile and he prodded and he said, "I wonder just how many great expositors there are in this generation." Unable to resist the opportunity to set the record straight, she said quietly, "One less than you think, my dear." Well, that's what wives are for, aren't they? To help us. But I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul was a man who said, "I can take no credit." He said, "I preach Christ. I depend upon God." To the Corinthian believers, he said, "I don't want you to move away from the simplicity that's in Christ." When you look at your life, is your life the same as it was when you first came to know Christ? Were you excited about letting others know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Were you taking time for prayer and for the reading of God's Word? Were you seeking to be an obedient believer? Did you have confidence you went forward? And I want to say in 50 years in the ministry, the Lord has never failed. When we went to Indianapolis, Indiana, we did not have a salary. But I want to tell you, from the very first service, somebody put a $20 bill in, equivalent to about $300. The little handful of people said, "You're not going to be the only one sacrificed," and they began to give. They raised the salary every month, and they raised it above the offerings that were coming in. My wife would say on the way home, "Honey, our offerings are not even that high." And I said, "God must be smiling, because they're exercising simple faith." And every month they did it, and it never failed. And all the way through, God provided. When we needed the land, they said, "You'll never get it. The man is an agnostic. He's never gone to church. You'll never get it. 34 acres of land." And I remember saying, "If God wants it to have it, He can get it and pay for it." And that's exactly what God did. Paid for all of it. Paul was saying that if you want the blessing of God, don't move away from the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not opposed to education. Education is important. But it is not a substitute for a simple faith and a singular focus on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Wendell Heller of Colonial Hills Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.